Boeing and its striking employees remain at a stalemate. The Expedition 18 crew arrives at the International Space Station, and AOPA gives its highest award to a user fee opponent. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 15th, 2008. Any optimism generated by news that Boeing was meeting with the machinist union over the weekend was dashed by a company statement released Monday night. Quote, "In light of the current business environment and global market challenges we face, we had hoped we could find a way to move forward. We worked very hard to find solutions, and we are extremely disappointed that the talks broke off," unquote. Doug Kite, Boeing's VP of Human Resources, added, quote, "We want to resolve this strike so employees can return to work, but we cannot sacrifice our ability to continuously improve productivity and our long-term competitiveness for an agreement. Given current economic conditions, it is now more important than ever that we retain the ability to respond to a dynamic, uncertain environment," unquote. Reading between the lines, he's talking about outsourcing and Boeing's contention that it's an essential management right to do it. Boeing says no new talks are scheduled. Mark Blondin, chief negotiator for the International Association of Machinists, told Bloomberg, quote, "We agreed from the start that job security was the top issue, and we needed to work to find common ground. We were unable to do that, and the mediator saw that and ended the meeting," unquote. The strike began September 6th and is costing Boeing an estimated $100 million a day. Commander Mike Fink and flight engineer Yuri Lonchikov docked their Soyuz TMA-13 to the Zarya module of the International Space Station at 4:26 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday morning. Hatches were opened and a welcome ceremony and safety briefing for the Expedition 18 crew members followed. Space tourist Richard Garriott, who's along for the trip, will return to Earth with the Expedition 17 crew in a few days. Garriott, who's the son of former U.S. astronaut Owen Garriott, is attempting to pioneer for-profit research during his stay at the station. There was no word as of last night out of Winnebago County, Wisconsin, where veteran airshow performer Patty Wagstaff was scheduled yesterday for a court appearance following a drunk driving arrest at Whitman Regional Airport during EAA Air Venture. Wagstaff told ANN shortly after the incident that the encounter occurred while she was trying to get back from the Gathering of Eagles dinner Thursday evening, July 31st. She said that while driving to the nearby Hilton on airport property, she was stopped by Oshkosh Airport and Airshow security, who subsequently called the sheriff in what escalated into a three-hour ordeal. Wagstaff was initially charged with two violations, operating under the influence and refusal to take a breathalyzer test. She insisted in comments to ANN that she was not impaired. The Oshkosh Northwestern reports the FAA may require Wagstaff to undergo a treatment program or otherwise satisfy the FAA that she's fit to fly if the charges stick. FAA spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham Corey told the paper, quote, "When somebody does have a drunk driving conviction, we want to see them going through some kind of drunk driving rehabilitation before getting their medical updated. They're going to have to prove it to us and come back and pass the next medical before they can have their certificate valid," unquote. Few details on the proceedings have been released. Winnebago County District Attorney Christian Gossett told the Northwestern his office was still reviewing the incident to determine whether criminal charges would be filed. Wagstaff attorney Christopher Mushler reportedly could not be reached for comment late last week. Unlike most of us, Wagstaff has more concerns than just the possible fines and certificate suspension by the FAA. Keeping a major aerobatic act on the circuit requires sponsors. In a ceremony yesterday morning in Wichita, Kansas, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association presented U.S. Senator Pat Roberts, a Kansas Republican, with its highest honor, the Joseph B. Doc Hartranft Award. AOPA says Roberts was selected, quote, "for his tireless advocacy of the general aviation community, particularly his efforts to block a user fee proposal," unquote. Senator Roberts is a member of the Senate Finance Committee and fought to win an agreement on the FAA reauthorization bill with the Senate Commerce Committee, in which the proposed fee would have been eliminated. The Hartranft Award is named for AOPA's first employee, longtime president, and former chairman of the board. It's given out each year to either an elected or appointed individual in government who's made significant contributions to the advancement of general aviation. Up next on ANN, the TSA will study virtual terrorist bombings. Airline hirings of pilots jumped in September. And Turkish Airlines dangles a big order in front of Airbus and Boeing. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 15th. I'm Paul Plagg. If you want to study the possible effects of a terrorist bomb on an airliner, one obvious way would be to buy retired airliners and actually blow them up. That's the traditional method, but the Transportation Security Administration wanted to know, in this day and age, can't we model an explosion using computers? Well, USA Today reports that question has been answered. Researchers at Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque have created the first computer model that simulates the effects of a bomb going off on an airliner. The TSA says the tests could eventually lead to changes to the restricted items list, potentially obsoleting all my edgy shampoo jokes. The TSA says it's also looking at doing separate blast tests on regional jets. Aviation security consultant and former United Airlines security chief Glenn Wynn says the smaller jets could be more vulnerable to bombs. TSA says it may modify airport bomb scanners so they can better protect the roughly 300,000 passengers who fly RJs each day. In addition to potential cost savings, virtual explosions may be more accurate than testing on actual retired airliners. One reason is that advancing technology often means retired planes aren't representative of the current fleet. And, as White notes, quote, we can do infinite numbers of variables without blowing up infinite numbers of planes, unquote. Compared to trashing real planes, developing the software was cheap. The labs are being paid $2 million by the TSA and the Science and Technology Directorate, which is another branch of Homeland Security. Airlines that report to Aviation Information Resources Incorporated hired a total of 429 pilots in September. That's a jump of 99% from the 215 new hires in August. Non-jet operators led with 109 of those hires. Countering the good news, AIR notes that there are currently 3,937 pilots on furlough and 1,903 who've been laid off, and adds, quote, unfortunately, that number may increase by the end of the year. 63 out of the 178 airlines reporting to AIR, or 36%, are still hiring, but Southwest is the only major airline still interviewing and hiring. The shutdown of DayJet September 19th resulted in the immediate furlough of 85 pilots. You can find more details of the report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The next AIR Incorporated job fair will be held in Atlanta in January or March of 2009. Proving that a recession is only a bad thing if you don't have money, Turkish Airlines is dangling an order for as many as 105 aircraft in the faces of Boeing and Airbus. On the airline's wish list are the Airbus A350XWB, A330, and A319, 320, and 321, and Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, 777, and three variants of the 737. In an official statement, the company says its administration, quote, attached utmost importance to the timing of this tender. Turkish Airlines is entering the global crisis and the approaching recession in a strong position both commercially and financially, unquote. CEO Temel Kotil told Reuters, quote, the list price of the planes we're planning to buy is more than $6 billion, but with bargaining, these prices will certainly change, unquote. Turkish Airlines is partly owned by the Turkish state, and it says it will place a firm order for 25 wide-body, long-haul planes and 50 narrow-body, medium-haul aircraft, and options for 10 more wide-bodies and 20 narrow-bodies. As other carriers throughout the world stumble financially and cut capacity, Kotil said Turkish Airlines is sticking to its prediction of passenger growth of 20% and sales of $4.5 billion for 2008. Boeing Commercial Airlines Vice President for Marketing Randy Tinseth confirmed the airline's bright outlook. Quote, "The Turkish economy is growing fast, and we expect that market to grow briskly in the next 20 years, at about 2 to 2.5 times the average for Europe," unquote. Deliveries of aircraft under the expected order are expected to start in the second half of 2010. Turkish Airlines is also shopping for takeover opportunities. A government source said last week the company was the high bidder for BH Airlines. That's the Bosnian Muslim Croat Federation flag carrier. The final showdown in this year's Red Bull Air Race season is set for sunny Perth in Western Australia, November 1st and 2nd. The event will settle the 2008 title competition between Austria's Hans Arc and Britain's Paul Bonhomme. Over 300,000 people are expected along the banks of Perth's Swan River for the third year running to watch the eighth and final race of this year's championship. The Red Bull Air Race runway will be set up at Langley Park, which was used as Perth's official airport back in the 1920s. It's close enough to the Swan River that pilots will have a great view of the racetrack from their hangars. Last year, French pilot Nicholas Ivanov stunned everyone with his first ever win in Perth, but it was American Mike Mangold who wrapped up a come-from-behind push to take the season title from Bonhomme. You can find out more about this series at www.redbullairrace.com. Still ahead, the Rocket Racer is granted an exhibition airworthiness certificate. AOPA steps in to help save a small airport in Maine. And Hawker Beechcraft names a new CFO. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The Rocket Racing League has announced that it's been granted an experimental exhibition certificate from the FAA for the first flying example of its next-generation Rocket Racer. The plane, based on a Velocity Canard airframe, has been selected as the baseline design for the fleet. The league says the exhibition type certification marks the first time in the FAA's history that a production-level rocket-powered aircraft has been cleared to perform exhibition flight demonstrations at over 20 venues across the U.S. The DKNY Bridenstine Rocket Racer, equipped with liquid oxygen alcohol engines from Armadillo Aerospace, was used in test flights to demonstrate stability, safety, performance, and reliability to the FAA. The league will now need to choose 8 venues from among the 20 approved by the FAA for its debut season. As of this writing, the league's website doesn't have that list yet, but you can find it at aero-news.net. The Rocket Racing League was founded 3 years ago by 2-time Indianapolis 500 winning team partner Granger Whitelaw and ex-prize chairman and CEO Dr. Peter Diamandis. In Biddeford, Maine, there's more on the November 4th ballot this year than Obama versus McCain. A referendum seeks to close down the town's airport. Last Friday, opponents of the closure kicked off an aggressive information campaign to help city voters better understand the airport's importance. AOPA has joined with the Friends of Biddeford Airport, or FOBA, to urge a no vote on the referendum, which would authorize spending at least $3 million to close Biddeford Municipal Airport. FOBA member Alan Liskers says, quote, "Given the current economy and realizing the many other priorities the community faces, spending tax money to close the airport just doesn't make good sense," unquote. He says the group is debuting a TV ad this week, followed by a series of informational mailings to city voters, a yard sign campaign, a neighbor-to-neighbor effort, and newspaper ads as part of a citywide Get Out the Vote campaign. Bill Dunn, AOPA's Vice President of Local Airport Advocacy, says the association has a vested interest in lending support to its local members. Quote, "We have 2,100 members across Maine and approximately 415,000 nationwide, all sharing a desire to keep small airports such as Biddeford Municipal in business," unquote. He adds that the Maine Department of Transportation estimates the airport contributes more than $3.5 million each year to the local economy. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation has announced that Sidney E. Anderson will join the company as its new chief financial officer, following a brief transition period and official appointment by the board of directors at its next meeting November 6th and 7th. CEO Jim Schuster commented, quote, Sid is an outstanding addition to the senior leadership team. He brings a new depth of experience and insight to our company at an important time when we're expanding our domestic and international operations and broadening our product range, unquote. Anderson's resume includes United Technologies since 1999, most recently as Vice President, Finance and Treasury for the Hamilton Sundstrand Division. He earned an MBA from MIT Sloan, a second master's from Arizona State, and a BA from Augustana College. Outgoing CFO Jim Sanders will move to an unspecified new position within Hawker Beechcraft. And finally, we told you yesterday about Pythias Brown, the 48-year-old TSA baggage screener at Newark Liberty, who's been charged with stealing dozens of cameras, computers, and other electronic gadgets from passengers' bags and selling them on eBay. His bail was set at $100,000, and he didn't have the property necessary to secure a bail bond, so his fiancée co-signed an unsecured bond to get him out of jail. Now, the New Jersey Star-Ledger reports Brown's attorney asked a judge to allow Brown to leave the country for a honeymoon while he awaits trial. Brown reportedly appeared in federal court in Newark to ask U.S. Magistrate Judge Esther Salas to be considerate of his wedding plans. The judge was not amused. Quote, I understand Mr. Brown has plans, but the fact is, the circumstances have changed. I'm not going to, at this juncture, permit him to travel on the honeymoon. Brown's public defender, Anthony Thomas, said the defendant and his fiancée are getting married Sunday and had planned to fly to the Dominican Republic for their honeymoon on Tuesday. He pointed out Brown has been fully compliant with investigators, gave them a lengthy statement, confessed to the thefts, and showed up voluntarily to face charges. Thomas even criticized authorities for their lack of courtesy in making the arrest when they did. Quote, obviously, they could have waited until Mr. Brown returned. There is absolutely no reason why Mr. Brown and his fiancée cannot enjoy their nuptials in the Dominican Republic, unquote. But Assistant U.S. Attorney Jenny Kramer noted Brown now has no job, has failed to appear on numerous traffic violations in the past, and has had his driver's license suspended multiple times as a result. She urged Salas to restrict Brown's travel and order him to surrender his passport, and the judge agreed. So, Brown and his fiancée, Dee, are free to go ahead with their wedding, but the honeymoon plans are going to have to wait. Hey, I have a question. If you're hired to be the wedding photographer, do you charge extra so you can have a guard to keep an eye on your camera? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Andy Savula, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Executive VP of Government Relations, about a proposal to have the TSA bring crew background checks and passenger screening to general aviation planes and airports. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.